All right, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph with the two dots. Tanu Rabbanan. Im bigapo yavo, bigapo yotze. That's the pasuk from Parshat Mishpatim with regards to an Eved Ivri. And there it says, im bigapo yavo, bigapo yotze. Im bali shahu, v'yatza ishto imo. So here, the definition or the meaning of the words aren't exactly clear. Say, bigufo nichdas, bigufo yotze. So that he goes in with his goof, and he comes out with his goof. Here it's not exactly clear what the drusha is in terms of b'gufo nichnas b'gufo yetze. The pashtut of pasuk is that he goes in with his body, comes out with his body, and meaning that he gets compensated or gets paid for whatever he does when he works, and he's like a sakhir. He's like a hired hand, and therefore when he goes in fully. When he comes out fully. There's nothing left with the Adon in that sense, and that he works like any other worker. That he goes in singularly, and he comes out singularly. So now Gemara asks, "My bigufo nichnas bigufo yetze." Amar Rava lomar she'inu yotze b'roshei avarim ke'eved. He doesn't have the same din as an Eved Kena'ani. An Eved Kena'ani, if one of his roshei avarim is injured or hurt by the Adon, then he gains his freedom, or he wins his freedom with that injury, even though the Adon doesn't have to compensate him for the injury, the compensation is his freedom. On the other hand, by an Ivri, that's not the case. He's treated like, again, quote-unquote, a free man, and therefore the Adon has to make compensation for any damage that is done, but he does not go free with the remuneration for the damage that is done. And as Tosafot says, you would have thought, the Havamina is, of course, that an Eved Ivri should be no worse than an Eved Kenani. And if an Eved Kenani goes free with that, then certainly an Eved Ivri should go free with that. But the Limud or the Kal V'Chomer is not exactly equivalent, because the Eved Kenani does not get compensation for that damage. He simply gets freed through that damage. The Eved Ivri will get compensated like a free person for the damage that is done. But he also does not gain his freedom from that. Amalei Abaye, how? We already learned that earlier from Nafka. We learned from the pasuk that he doesn't go free like an Eved, which we saw by an Ama Ivriya. And that taught us that she doesn't go out like an Eved, which is with Roshei Evarim, although she can't be Nichneset. She can't go in like an Eved Knani. That's how we learned out the din of Shtar, or the ability for Star to be a means of acquiring a Ama Ivriya. He says, Imi Hatam, Havamina, Native Le Dme Ene, Vinipuk. I would have thought it was just Lote Tse Ketse Tabadim, means he doesn't go free like an Eved Kenani. An Eved Kenani goes free without any compensation. The Eved Ivri will go free, but he will get compensation. That's also not like an Eved Kenani, just not like him in a different way. Kamash Valon, that he doesn't go free at all, and that's why we have the pasuk of b'gufo nichnas b'gufo yotze, which is that he comes in whole and he leaves whole, but not with any damage. Meaning that if he's damaged or he doesn't come out whole, he's not leaving. He has to be compensated. He has to be healed, and then he'll go out at the regular time. The goof or damage to his goof is not a means for his release. And that's what it means b'gufo nichnas b'gufo yotze. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, yichidi nichnas yichidi yotze. He goes in as a single, goes out as a single. Ma yichidi yetze. What does that mean that he goes out while he's still alone? Amar Rav Nachman Yisrael Chaki Kamar. This is what it means. The drusha is almost counterintuitive, but yesh lo yishal banim, rabo mosur le shivcha knanit. If he already has a wife and children, then his master can give him a shivcha knanit while he is an Eved Ivri. Ein lo yishal banim, ein rabo mosur lo shivcha knanit. He does not have a wife and children, then his Rav cannot give him a Shivcha Knanit. The drasha really is resting on Yechidei Yetze, that he goes out alone. And if he enters unmarried and without children, then he will also exit in the same manner. So that means that in the interim, he was not given a Shivcha Knanit, because he went in single. He leaves single. On the other hand, if he entered not single, which means that he was married or he had children before he entered, then his rabbo can give him a shivcha kananit, and then he won't go out alone. Again, there, he's not going to take the Shifcha Kananit with him anyway. That's what's difficult about the Drasha. But it means he doesn't go out alone. I mean, he goes out with his wife and children. But he also had a Shifcha Kananit in the interim. So from this you have the heter of an Eved Ivri to be together with the Shifcha Kananit. It's in service of his Adon. The children born to the Shifcha Kananit have no Yichus. They are property of the Adon. And so the children and the Shifcha Kananit remain with the master as property of the master, and the Eved Ivri goes free. The idea being that if he's married and has kids, we allow him to do this because he won't be drawn after the Shifcha. If you remember the psukim that tell us that he wants to stay on past the time period that is allocated for an Eved Ivri, which is that he wants to be a Nirtzah, there the Lashon of the Torah is, Im Yomar Yomar Eved Ahavti Et Adoni Et Ishti Ved Banai Lo Etzei Chavshi. I love my wife, my children, my master. The wife and children that you're speaking about there are the Shifcha Kananit and the children born. So we don't want him to be drawn by that. So if he's married and has children, then he won't be drawn after that because he has a family. He has a connection, a familial connection, and he built a family independent of this. So he won't be drawn in to be a Nirtzah. So that if he's single, and this is the only relationship that he has, and the family that he has, he's more likely to be drawn in. So in order to avoid that problem, we say that when he's single, he will remain single. If he's married, then the Adon has the right to give him a Shifcha Kananit. Here again, you have a machloket, mostly in the Achronim, as to whether when he is married, the Adon can compel him to take a Shifcha Kananit, but when he's not married, it's optional. Or is it mutar when he's married, asur when he's not married? You could read it either way here in the Gemara, as to whether Adon Moser lo Shivchato is, he can do it Baal Kocho, or does that simply mean it's mutar as opposed to asur? And obviously that has an afkamina, you know, when he's single, whether if he agrees to it, then he could be together with the Shivcha Kananit, but if he does not, no. Or does it mean it's asur? Again, hashkafically, what we spoke about, the idea that not being drawn up to Shivcha Kananit would lean towards the side of saying that it's a sur for him when he is single, because that would draw him in and keep him locked in as an Eved Ivri. So now the Gemara moves on to the next drasha. Nimkar memaneh vishbiach. He was sold for 100 zuz, and then he went up in price. His value went up. Vamad al matayim. And now, the same worker, the same transaction would cost you 200 zuz. Minayin sheim mechashvim lo elamaneh. How do we know that when we calculate his defeasance, the ability for him to buy himself out, the giron kesef, that we calculate it based on his purchase price and not on the current value? Shenemar, mikesef nimiknato. Says from his purchase price. Nimkar b'matayim v'chsif. He was sold at a value of 200 and then he depreciated. B'mad al maneh, now he's only worth 100. Minayin sheim achshvin lo ele maneh. How do we know that we use the current value and not the purchase price? Tamalomar kifishanav, based on the years. So now, what the Gemara is doing here is pointing out that the psukim in Vayikra, they speak about an Eved Ivri who sells himself into a Nachri. In that Parshia, it describes the ability for him to calculate and gain his release. So it says there, it says, v'chishavim koneu mishnati machro lo ad shnati yovel. Right, he works out the calculation between the time that he sold and the yovel. So that it's kesef mimkaro, the price of his sale, based on the years, will be the wage that he is paid, in essence. And then you have two psukim. Im od rabot b'shanim, there are a lot of years left. Lefihem yashiv geulato, he'll have to pay that amount, mi kesef miknato, from his purchase price. So he calculates from the purchase price, the remaining years that he has, and that'll be the cost of redeeming him or buying his freedom. The next pasuk says, "Vim at nishar b'shanim." If there is only a small number of years left, ad shnata yovel till the yovel v'chishav lo, they'll do the calculation. Kifi shanav yashivet gulato. According to the years, he'll give his or purchase his freedom. So you see, in one pasuk it says, "Yashiv gulato mi kesef miknato," from his purchase price, and the other one says, "Kifi shanav yashiv et gulato," according to the years. Why doesn't the Torah consistent in the price that they are using or the principal amount that they are using to calculate this? Both of them should have used the same description, either mikesef miknato or kifishanav. The fact that it changes between them That's what causes the drusha that we have over here. In one instance, it says we go according to kesef miknato, his purchase price. The other case, it says we go kefi shanav. So what the drusha so far in the braita is, that an eved, if he appreciates, will then premise it or base the redemption on his purchase price, the lower. And then, on the other hand, if he depreciated, then he'll go after the current price, not the purchase price. Or in essence, he gets the lower of his purchase price or his current value in determining how much he has to pay to win his freedom. So, ain li ela eved anim kar lo oved kochavim. I only have that because the parshia where this is written is in a case where a Jew sold himself as an eved ivri to a nachri. Ho v'nigal bikrovim yado ala tachtona. Therefore, because by an eved ivri that sells him to a nachri, the Torah permits the krovim to go in and redeem him against the will of the Adon. The Adon has no choice in that matter. The krovim have the right to redeem him. So therefore, yado ala tachtona. The owner has the lower hand. The owner has a lower hand, therefore we give the eved ivri the benefit not only of the fact that he can be redeemed at any time, but also the benefit of the lower of the purchase price or his current value. Nimkar liYisrael minolan. How do I know when he sells himself to a Jew, the eved ivri, that the same rule applies? Tamalomar, sachir, sachir, l'gzeira shava. This is what we pointed out before, that the word sachir actually appears a number of times here in terms of the gzeira shavot. And when I read you the pasuk, it says over here, Kimei sachir yeimo, he's like a sachir with him. And in the previous parshia, which talks about an eved ivri that is selling himself to a Jew, it says ki sachir ketoshav yeimach, that you will be like a sachir. So then you have the gzeir sheva of sachir is sachir, and therefore what is true by the eved ivri that sells himself to a nachri is also true by the eved ivri that sells himself to a Jew. Amar Rabbi, hareini ki ben azai b'shukei Tveria. I'm like Ben Azai, who was in the Shukei, in the marketplaces of Tveria, as Rashi notes over here. When he was very clear-headed, he used to say this. That anybody has a question, I'm ready. Open forum, open mic. You can come and ask me any Torah question, and I'm ready to answer it. Not just what I'm learning now, but anything, ask the Rav. That's basically what it was. You can come and ask him anything he wants. Now, Yuzke Ben Azai, who lived in Tveria, who was very harif, and he was a darshan. He was very sharp. He was a doresh, and he was well known for his erudition and for his tremendous intellect. Vamar, it says about him, Kochach Meisol Ifanaik Kiblat Hashum. Ben Azai says about himself that everybody else, all the other chachamim are like a peel of garlic, except for this boldy, he's referring to Rabbi Akiva, who was on peer with him, or at least gave him a run for his money, for Ben Azai. And therefore, Ben Azai was known as someone who could answer anything, you could ask him anything. So Abaye, when he felt like he was in that mode, he was in the groove, and he could answer any question, he used to describe himself in a similar manner. As you can see over here, there's a cross-reference to the Gemara in Sota, and there are other Irvin Arachin. The question of whether these were separate incidents or one incident, and just it's dispersed over Shas, depending on the topic, where it belongs, that this happened one time, and then each relevant topic is placed in the Masechta, or whether this happened multiple times where Abaye would do this. The idea being that there were certain moments where he felt that he had a clarity of understanding or ability to answer. And that's what he's saying here. So Amar Le Haumi Rabbanan Abaye. So this is one of the issues that was raised with him or posed to him. Michte Hanei Krai Ika the Midrashinu the Kula Ika the Midrashinu the Chumra. The point being that the psukim that we quoted only show you that there's a difference. A difference meaning it says in one case Kesef Miknato is purchase price. The other time it says Kefi Shanav. The only thing we know from that is that they're different. We don't know which one belongs to which. We don't know whether to say Kesef Miknato is when that was the higher price or the lower price. And the same thing with the Kfi Shanav. So it says, my chazit darshinu l'kula. Why are we doreshet l'kula? L'kula means we take the lower of the two prices. You could have just as easily been doresh that you take the higher of the two prices, and that would have fit in the psukim just as well. My chazit darshinu l'kula nidrashinu l'chumra. Better off, why don't we say it's the higher of the two prices rather than the lower of the two prices? Lo saga datcho. No, you wouldn't think that. Mida akil rachmana de gabe. Because since the Torah is mekil gabei the eved ivri, the Tanya, kitov lo imach. Because he is happy with you. Now that he's happy with you, imcha b'machal, imcha b'mishte. What does that mean, that he has a good life with you? It means that he's on par or a peer to you with the food and the drink that you have. That's what the Eved Ivri is going to say when he is having a good time or things are going well for him. He's going to say, "Vayak yomar elecha lo etse mimach." Why do I want to leave you? And Devarim, it says this, "Ki ahivcha v'et beitecha." I love you and your household. "Ki tov lo imach." Because things are really good there. Why are things really good? This is what the drush is, that he's on peer or on par with his Adon. Whatever his Adon eats, he eats. Whatever his Adon drinks, he drinks. Shlotei ata uchel pat nikiya v'uchel pat kibar. You don't eat white bread and he eats whole wheat. Ata shotei yayin yashan. You drink aged wine. V'u shotei yayin chadash and he drinks grape juice. Ata yashin al gabe mukim. You lay down on feathers and soft bed. V'u yashin al gabe tevin and he has to sleep on the straw. Mikan amru. From here you conclude. Anyone who purchases an Eved Ivri is really buying a master for himself. As Tosafot points out over here, that doesn't seem to be so clear. The only demand that we have over here is that he be equal to his Adon. So now, when you say he has to be equal to his Adon, that doesn't mean he bought himself a master, it means that he bought himself a peer. Why does the Gemara here assume that he bought himself a master? So Tosafot points out, because of the case where he only has one of something. And that actually causes the Adon a problem, because if he has two of something, then he gives one to himself, one to the Eved Ivri, and then he's fine. In the case where he has only one, for instance, let's say he has only one bed, who gets to sleep on the bed? If the Adon sleeps on the bed, then he's in violation of Ki Tov Lo Imach, that you're not treating your Eved Ivri on par with yourself. So therefore, you can't sleep on the bed. So what are you going to say? Let's both sleep on the floor? That's Midat Stom. Midat Stom is that, because if I can't have it, you can't have it. So what are we going to say? Put the Eved Ivri in the bed. So in that circumstance, he's Kone Adon Le'atzmo. It'll be a circumstance or situation in which the Adon sleeps on the floor, and the Eved Ivri sleeps on the bed. So in those instances where he only has one for the two of them, the one who will get that is the Eved Ivri and not the Adon. And that's what it means that he's Kone Adon Le'atzmo. So Ve'ema Hani Mile Le'inyan Achila V'shtia. So maybe that only has to do with eating, drinking, those matters. So it won't cause him pain, meaning that he won't see his Adon eating and enjoying, and he'll suffer because he can't participate. So maybe in those cases, with regards to redemption, maybe we can be machmir, meaning that maybe the whole idea of Tov Lo Imach is just that in his experience as an Eved Ivri, living the life with you of an Eved Ivri, that he doesn't feel that he's missing out or that he's losing out. You're getting all this and he's not getting that. So there you have to treat him like a peer. But the ability to redeem, which is not a daily item that will cause him pain or not something where he's facing it, he could, maybe over there we would say, go buy the higher price. What you're suggesting is that the Pasuk is describing a circumstance, not a demand, not a tzivui. So that's in Dvarim. So Tosafot claim that the imach is not from Ki Tov Lo Imach, rather from the Pasuk in Vayikra, Ki Sachir Ketoshav Iye Imach. So there, over there, it says that you have to treat him like a sechir and a toshav, yeimach. He'll be with you, on par with you. So over there, that is not a description of how he felt about his experience, but rather a demand about how you treat him. So the Baal Yatosfot used that pasuk. It might be that they're driven by the question that you have, which is, kitov lo imach is not a tzivoy, but rather a teor, a description. So they use that pasuk, which says that you have to treat him like a toshav. You have to treat him like a regular resident. And that's why they learn to have the word imach over there. That will also have implications as to whether this has an application outside of an Eved Ivri. If you say ki tov lo imach, that pasuk is specifically said about an Eved Ivri. And that makes it true that an Eved Ivri has to be treated in that manner. That demand would not be with other workers, other poalim, and not certainly with an Eved Knani. It's a mistake that's made many times that people say, this member of Chazal with regards to an Eved Knani, that by any slave, that you have to treat him better than yourself. That's not true. That's true by an Eved Ivri. That is not true by an Eved Knani. So that would be the way you would learn it, if you learn it Ki Tov Lo Imach. If you learn it out because of Ki Kasachir Ketoshav Yei Imach, then you might think, or you might assume, that it has implications outside of Eved Ivri as well, which is that a Sachir, a Toshav Yei Imach. And when you have a Sachir and Toshav, they get treated like you. and that maybe you have that obligation to treat your workers in the same manner. Now, in terms of the obligation, it's an obligation that devolves upon the adon to act in this manner. It is not something that can be extracted in court. If the Eved Ivri goes to court, or the Sakhir goes to court, he can't say that he's not doing this for me. He doesn't have a monetary claim against the Adon. It's an instruction, maybe even in the realm of Iser and Heter, where the Adon has to act in this manner, but there's no monetary claim for that amount. But if you use Tosafot's source, which is Ki Sakhir Toshav Yeimach, you could see possibly expanding it beyond an Eved Ivri and saying that it applies to any worker that you have. Now, clearly it does not apply to an Eved Kenani, though Yerushalmi does bring that Rabbi Yochanan treated his Eved Kenani like his Eved Ivri. And he did the same thing for his Eved Kenani. So that obviously is Lifnim Mishur Tadin. But what the Torah is doing here is setting a standard by which if you have people who have to work for you or are in servitude to you, you have to treat them properly. We don't want you abusing them or misusing them. And so from a spirit of the law, there's what to learn from here, even if the letter of law doesn't demand from you to act this way with your workers. So now the Gemara says, so maybe here, by Pidyon, we should be Machmir, because that's different than Achilav Shtiyah. It says, no, because Mid Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Chanina. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Chanina, Omer, Bore, Kama Kashe, Avka Shel Shvi'it. Let's go and see how bad or difficult it is, Avka Shel Shvi'it. That's the dust of Shvi'it. The Gemara uses the term avak whenever it wants to describe an avera that is not the core of avera, but a derivative or a side of avera. It's the same thing as avak lashon hara, which everybody is familiar with. Lashon hara is speaking evilly about another party. Avak lashon hara is causing people to speak evilly. You make a compliment that you know will draw the ire or a negative response. That's avak lashon hara. So over here you have Shel Shvi'it, means the same way in Tosafot, notes that as well, which is Perush Isur Kal Sheba. It's a lighter Isur. Dikar Isur Shvi'it. What is the major requirement of Shvi'it and Isurim Shvi'it? Is Avodat HaKarka, not to work the land, not to plow, not to plant. And over here in Tosafot, maybe the Shita Tos says Harisha, because Tosafot might believe that Harisha is an Isur Doraita. It's not clear, that's a Machloket Rishonim as to whether Harisha is Doraita. Whereas the Torah specifies by planting and harvesting that those are Isurei Avodata Karka Midoraita, Harisha is a Machloket Rishonim. Here Tosafot mentions Harisha and Zriya together, as if those are Isurim, possibly Mina Torah. But dealing or trading in Peirot Shvi'it is a derivative Isur, which is that the Torah says that you may eat the Peirot Shvi'it, l'achla velo l'schora, that you can eat them, but you cannot trade in the Peirot Shvi'it. There, from there, there's an Isur to transact and to profit from Peirot Shvi'it. That Isur is what's called Avka Shel Shvi'it. It's not the core Isur of Shvi'it. It's a derivative Isur of Shvi'it. So now he's saying, look how difficult this is. What Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is going to do is something that's pretty famous and well known, because Rashi brings the Midrash on the Parshiot that are found in Bahar, which is that there are a sequence of Parshiot there. And the question is, what's the connection between the sequence of Parshiot? And basically, what comes out, we're going to see this in the Gemara, is going to darshan, I'm giving you a preview so you understand what happens in the Gemara, is that the smichut of Parshiot is basically a midah keneged midah. You do something wrong, therefore, this bad thing will happen to you. That bad thing happens to you and you don't realize why it's happening to you, more bad things and more bad things, and you're going to roll downhill more and more. So if you look at the Parshiot that are found there, in the beginning of Parshat Bahar, it's talking about Shvi'it. Once it finishes the Parshiot of Shvi'it, then it enters into the Parshiot that are afterwards that seemingly are not connected. And here it begins with, Ki amuch achicha, when he falls in hard times, umachar mechuzato, and he sells his field to you. That's the first Parshiot afterwards. Then, V'ish kimkor beit moshav irchuma. After that, it talks about a parshia where someone has to sell his house in the walled city. After that, it says, "V'chi yamuch achicha umatay yado imach." He falls on hard times. "V'exakta bo ger v'toshav v'chayimach." That he has to borrow money. And here it tells you, you may not lend him with interest, and the goy might lend him with interest, but you may not charge him interest. Then, next parshia is, "V'chi yamuch achicha." if he falls on hard times, v'nim kalach, and he sells himself to you, which is the parshia of every Ivri selling himself to a Jew. After that you have, kisasig yad gir v'toshav imach, umach achicha imo. If he falls on hard times and has to sell himself to a non-Jew, to a nachri, that's the next parshia. So what you see here is a sequence of problems that this individual is facing. And what the claim of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina is, that these problems are coming about because of what the parsha began with, which was Shvi'it. This person did a small aveira in Shvi'it. Mida keneged mida, he's going to fall on hard times and progressively get into a worse and worse situation. Now, how do you know what the aveira was? Tosfot claims, because mida keneged mida, it's an Isur Kal, and therefore it has to be an onesh that's migda keneged mida. The onesh, which we're going to see in a second, has to do with transacting or having to sell items. So too, when it comes to the Isur, the Aveira, Mida Keneged Mida, it must be talking about transacting. The punishments with transactions, so therefore the Aveira must have been with the transaction. That's how we know that it's speaking about Shvi'it. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the Parshia, that is immediately after Shvi'it, that describes the difficulty that he falls in. So in the parsha there it says, "V'chitim krumim karla mitecha, okanu miyara mitecha, altonu ishet achiv." You're not allowed to overcharge or undercharge in those cases. So that is found juxtaposed to the din of Shemitah, which means that the parsha of kinyanim and transactions is immediately juxtaposed to that of Shemitah. So what you could answer, Tosfos gave you one reason as to why we know that the aveira here was masa matan schora beperot shvit, is because the punishment is in masa matan. The other way you can learn it is that it's a two-way street. The juxtaposition means that Shvi'it tells you why the bad things are happening. The bad things that are happening telling you what the problem is in Shvi'it, which is, right afterwards it says, V'chitim krumim kar le'ach mitecha, when you trade or transact with your friend. That trading or transacting is what happens or goes wrong after you get involved in problems in Shvi'it. What is the problem? V'chitim krumim kar, because you transacted in Perot Shvi'it. So they teach each us about both of them. They both influence each other to tell us what the problem is. And therefore, the conclusion of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, is that this person who got involved in Perot Skora and Perot Shvi'it will head on a downhill track that involves all these little parshiot that are found in Parshat Behar. So now we can read that inside, which is the Tanya. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Omer, Bore Kama Kashav Kashal Shvi'it. Let's see how difficult or bad Skora with Perot Shvi'it is. Adam no seven otein be Perot Shvi'it. The sof mocheret metal tolav. If a person transacts with Perot Shvi'it, in the end he's going to have to sell his possessions. Shenemar, b'shnat ha-yovel, tashuv ish el achuzato. In the yovel, everything goes back. V'samichle, v'chid timkaru mimkar la'amitecha, o kano miyad amitecha. You're going to davar nikne miyad yad. Something that is transacted from hand to hand, you will sell your possessions. Lo hirdish. If he doesn't realize why this is going on, he has to sell his possessions because of what he did wrong. After that, he sells his fields. The next parsha talks about selling a field. If he doesn't figure it out yet, or he won't figure it out until he has to sell his house, which is the next parsha, which is Nemar. So now the Gemara interjects in the middle of this bright or this drasha and says, why does it say on the first time that he doesn't feel it? He doesn't understand why it's happening. Why does the second one say it's basically a foregone conclusion? He won't figure it out until the next thing happens. So in the first instance it says he doesn't figure out, meaning that he could figure it out. Had he figured it out, he would have stopped it. But he hasn't figured it out yet. On the other hand, when it comes to the next downhill slide, it says, he will not figure it out until the next thing happens. So why is one a foregone conclusion and the other one up in the air? Kid Rav Huna, that's Rav Huna, which you know from the Gemara in Yoma. Dama Rav Huna, Gevin Shavar Adam Aveira V'shana Ba. Once a person violates an Aveira and then repeats it, Hutralo, it's mutar for him. Gemara says, Hutralo, so what do you mean it's mutar? Could you do an Aveira twice, now it becomes mutar? Elanasi lo keheter. It becomes a heter, this is a psychological phenomenon, which is that people have a certain reticence when it comes to doing an Aveira. A person, even if they wanted to violate the Shabbat, they grew up in an environment that was Shomer Shabbat, it's hard for them to violate the Shabbat. Once they've already been mechalel Shabbat, the next time they do it's easier. By the time the third time they do it, they don't even think about it anymore. They don't feel that guilty pangs anymore. So crossing over the line is always something that psychologically is very difficult. So therefore, in the first time that you do the Avera, the second time, the person's still aware or still feels the sense of shame or guilt about doing this and knows that it's wrong. By the time the person's already done it numerous times, then they don't feel that anymore and they just do it keheter, like as if it's mutar, as if there is no restriction over here. And that's the point being made here, which is, in the first case where he gets punished, it says lo hirgish, if he doesn't figure it out. Because in the first time that he did the Avera and he got punished, he still has an ability to figure it out because he still has reticence in doing the wrong thing. By the time he gets to the third round, then already we say, Hutrilo, meaning that he's lo bat yado. It's definitely going to move on. Progressively, it's going to get worse because he's no longer to be, stop himself from doing the Avera. He doesn't think of it as an Avera anymore. He thinks of it as being totally mutar. Therefore, it's a foregone conclusion that these bad will continue to happen to him. Lo bat yado, ache mocheret bito. Then it does still, if he doesn't figure it out after he sold the house, then the next step for him, or what's automatically going to happen to him, is going to have to sell his daughter. Shenemar, v'chik timor ish et bito le'ama. Person sells his daughter as a maidservant. As you can see here, all the quotes we have are from Vayikra Chafei, which is on the Parshiot in Vayikra. This one quote is from Mishpatim, about an ama ivriya. So how does it know that it progresses in that way? V'afagav de bito lo k'tiva b'hayin yonah. Even though bito, ama ivriya, is not written in Vayikra, Hakamash Valon. It's conclusive from a logical argument, which is Nizben Inish Brate Vonizif Biribita. Person should first sell his daughter as an Ama Ivra when he falls on hard times, rather than borrow with interest. My time. What's the reason for that? It's just a logical or financial decision, which is Brate Migra Vinafka. You sell the Ama Ivriya, you sell your daughter as an Ama Ivriya, you defease the purchase price. So that means it gets easier and easier to redeem her or to buy her back out. And in the end, if she doesn't, then she will go free once she has worked the amount of years that she has to work. Baha, Mosfa Vazla. On the other hand, interest only digs you deeper into the hole. Because if you borrow the money, when you have to pay the interest, not only have you not paid back the principal, you're now adding on additional debts or monies that you owe from the interest. So it's much better from a financial perspective to sell your daughter as an Ama Ivriya, which is a self-amortizing asset, versus something like a borrowing with interest, which is an accumulating debt. And so therefore, it's a much better situation. That's what the Gemara says. Logically, it would make sense that you would do this before you did the next step. Lo bat yado, he will not again figure it out, ad shelo veberibit, until he borrows with interest, which we saw as the next parashia, shenemar, chiyamucha chicha mata yado imach, you're not allowed to take interest from him, which means that somebody is taking interest from him. And you have to extend him a interest-free loan, but other people are definitely not doing that. He won't figure it out until he sells himself. When your friend falls on hard times and he sells himself to you, this is an Eved Ivri that sells himself to a Jew. Not only to you, eliger, it's going to get worse because it says in the next parsha, "Techi tasig yad ger v'toshav imach umach achichi imo v'nimkar leger toshav imach o le'eker mishpachat ger." He'll be sold to one of these individuals. Now the Gemara is going to darshan, so he won't even just be sold to you. He'll be sold to a ger shenemar leger, because it says in the pasuk v'nimkar leger v'lo leger tzedek, not to a convert who is a full fledged Jew, el leger toshav, because that's what it says v'nimkar leger. Toshav. Agir Toshav is someone who lives amongst you and accepts the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Let's assume, might not be that he needs all Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, but he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. He is someone who lives amongst you, but he's definitely not Jewish. Shnemar Agir Toshav. Mishpachat Ger. It says there, V'nim kar l'agir Toshav imach ole eker Mishpachat Ger. Mishpachat Ger zeh ovei kochavim. That is being sold to ovei kochavim, to a non-Jew. Shomer le'eker. What's le'eker? Zeh nimkar l'ovedat kochavim atzma. That's someone who sold to the Avodah Zarah itself. Now, first of all, Eker, how do you know that Eker means the Avodah Zarah itself? Is because Eker means something that is la'akira. Shesofo li'aker. In the end, it'll be uprooted. So that refers to Avodah Zarah itself. So that's how they know that Eker refers to Avodah Zarah. What does it mean that he's sold to Avodah Zarah? Does not mean that he is worshiping the Avodah Zarah, but rather he has to work for the Komrim, the priests of the Avodah Zarah. He has to be Chotei Veitzim. He has to cut wood for them. He has to give them water. He provides the supplies. He's working for them. He's not worshiping it, but his work is facilitating the Avodah Zarah. So this is how far this person falls. From a little Avera, he continues to see Midah Keneged Midah. Things get worse and progressively worse and worse and worse, until he hits bottom, where he finally figures out that maybe he shouldn't have done this, or he did something wrong. That's what the drasha of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina is. That there is a progressive problem that will happen to him because of the Avera. Over here, the question was, how do you know you go the Kula and not the Chumrah? He says, because we have Tov Lo Yimach. He asks, Tov Lo Yimach might be about his needs, or his immediate needs, like eating and drinking, but Pijon will go the Chumrah. And he says, oh, why would I say that? Because look over here. The problem that is happening is because he did something wrong. So maybe over there we should be machmir on him and say that he has to pay the higher price to get himself out. Because the reason he's here is because he did something wrong. He's being punished. And so if he's being punished, we should be machmir on him instead of being mekil on him. So that's the question that we are dealing with right now. How do you know that you give him the lesser of the purchase price or his current value rather than the higher of his purchase price and current value? And you would think yes to give the higher price because it's all a punishment. And when it's a punishment, you would assume that you go to Chumrah, not the Kula. Amalei, Hatam HaHadre Kra. Over there, the Pasuk gives it back to him. What does that mean, it gives it back to him? Because, the Tani, the Bei Rabbi Yishmael, Hov Halach Zev, and Aseh Komer L'Avodat Kochavim, Ema Litchei Even Achar Nufel. This guy now basically, or essentially became a priest to Avodah Zarah, because he's working for the Avodah Zarah, and he got sold down the river. So let us push the stone after the nofel, the one who falls. Meaning that if he's already gone, let us just give him another push so he's totally gone. The expression being, just finish him off. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says there in that last of punishments where he sells himself to a nochri, achrei nimkar geula tielo. After he's sold, he still has a redemption. Echad me'achav yigalenu. One of his brethren will redeem him. So that means that the Torah says that he still has a geula. He still has a redemption. He still has the possibility of being taken care of, and he has the possibility of being saved or reaching a certain amount of salvation. So you see that the Torah gives him a light at the end of the tunnel. The fact that it gives him an out, where he tells you that the Torah is trying to help him get out of this situation. Ve'ema geula tielo. That's right. The reason that we have to redeem him is, because we don't want him to remain in this situation. The circumstance that he's in right now will lead him to basically assimilate or become a non-Jew, because he's in such a predicament where the pressures and the nature of the work are going to lead him down that path. So the Torah says redeem him to prevent that from happening. Ha, l'inyan pijon, nachmir alei. But ha, l'inyan pijon, about how much you have to pay, nachmir alei. We'll make it machomor, mid Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So again, the demand will be that you redeem him because of the circumstance that he finds himself in. How you redeem him will still be the more expensive way, because the reason he's here is because it's a punishment. It says, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Trei Kroi Ktivei. Now the reason we learned this out is because there are two psukim. This is what I already pointed out to you, that the two psukim are inconsistent, and therefore there's a drosha mina psukim. So now, and that is the answer to the question. We wouldn't have intuitively known, or we can't figure out why you should be makil over here. It's true that in each of these cases, there are reasons to redeem him. There are reasons to be makil, but they're just as equal reasons to be machmir. And if that's the case, you can't logically make an argument that we should take the lower of the purchase price or current value versus the higher of the two. So now he says it's a pasuk. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says k'tiv. The pasuk says, im od rabot bishanim. Uchtiv im ma'at nishar bishanim. If there are a lot of years left, or there are a small number of years left. Why would there be a lot of years or less years? So what Rashi points out over here, and the Rashi is not simple, Rashi says, mashma she'ri bushanim, that there will be a longer duration or a shorter duration. Can an Ivri have more than 6 years or less than 6 years? The answer is no. He has a term which is of 6 years. So talk about he has more years or less years is almost irrelevant, because everybody has the same amount of years. First of all, there are a lot of problems with this drasha. The first of which is the fact that it's not true. Because we learned earlier that an Eved Ivri who sells himself to a Nachri does not Yotzei B'Sheish. He does not go out at 6 years. The only release he has is the Yovel or the Geulah. He does not have a cap of 6 years. That we learned already earlier in the Perek. So the fact that Rashi is saying that he's capped out at 6 years, we don't have such a thing. There is no cap out of 6 years. So what you could say is, okay, it's Yovel. Anybody who's sold as an Eved Ivri at this point in time has a fixed amount of years until the Yovel. And therefore, why would you have to use the Pasuk or say, Im Rabota Shanim, Im Ata Shanim, if there are more years or less years? Because it's all the same amount of years. All you have to do is take the amount of years from now to the Yovel and divide it. What does it have to do with there are more years or there are less years? Okay, now, even given that that is the Drasha, that Drasha is also difficult because the nature, the Pashtut of Pasuk, when it speaks about Rabota Shanim or Ma'ata Shanim, there the Pasuk is telling you that depending on how much time he has left in his work, meaning that if he has a lot of years left, then he's going to have to pay more because that as a percentage of the remaining amount. The Pashat of the Pasuk is that there are more years left or less years left. Right, that's the way you would read it. Nevertheless, Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying, no, you have to darshan it because it's always a fixed amount. And what he's saying, in essence, is that if you take the purchase price, divide it over the years until the Yovel, which is a fixed amount, you know exactly what that's going to be, then you know how much each year is worth. So why does it matter that there are a lot of years left or a little years left? It's the same amount. The price per year is fixed from the beginning. So it shouldn't matter how many years, less years, more years, just calculate the yearly rate and you just get the number. So therefore it's not relevant. So he says because of that, it seems that the psukim are extraneous, unnecessary. And therefore he darshins this. Ella, nitrabe kaspo, if his back current value exceeds his purchase price, mikesef miknato, then you buy him out at his purchase price. Nitma'et kaspo, if his value went below his purchase price, kafishanav, then you go by the years. What he is noting here is what I mentioned to you before, is you have two psukim in a row that say that the principal amount against which you are calculating is different. One say it says kesef miknato, his purchase price, one say it says kafishanav. Why doesn't it use the same term in both cases? That's what he's saying. Kesef miknato means his purchase price. Kafishanav means based on his current value. How do you know which is which? It says, im rabota shanim. If he's gone up in value, then you use kesef miknato. Im me'at nishar b'shanim, if it's less years, not less years, but his value has gone down, then you calculate it on his fishanav, his current value. That's the drosha of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak or Rav Nachman, depending on what girsa you have. V'eim ha'ochi kamar. Rav says, why don't you say this is what it says? Heched avad trei upashle dalit. Here he works for 2 years, and he's got 4 years to go. Native lay dalit mikesef miknato. He'll have to pay 4 years based on the amortization of the price over the period of time he was going to work. 6 years. It's obvious here that the Gemara is using 6 years. This is what probably precipitated Rashi saying 6 years, even though 6 years might not be relevant over here. But nevertheless, if he worked for two and he has four to go, so he has more years left than he's worked, over there you go after Kesef Miknato, then you go by the purchase price. Avad Dalit, on the other hand, if he works 4 years, Upashu lo tarte, and he has two more to go, native tarte kafishanav. Maybe then he pays according to his current value. Meaning, the closer you are to the start of his work, the more likely that you should be using the purchase price as the measure. So, if you've been there a very short time, then the purchase price is the determining factor. If you've already been there a long time, then the value or current value becomes the way that you assess the situation. And ma'achanim and rabochanim means how many years have you worked? Hey, Rabotshani, if you have a lot of years left, then you go by purchase price. The point is that the psukim have nothing to do with the higher of or the lower of these two prices. It's simply, this is the way it works. If you are in your first half of your work, then you do it based on your purchase price. And then, if you have worked more than halfway mark, then it goes on your current value. Now, that is not a crazy idea. Right. It makes some sense, which is the assumption is that the closer you are to the purchase price, the more likely you are to be at the same value as the purchase price. Plus, you want to compensate the Adon. He put out money. So to give it, based on the purchase price, makes sense. On the other hand, the more time you've spent there, the longer you've been there, the more likely that the price has fluctuated from the original purchase price. Plus, the Adon already got a lot of the value out. So therefore, maybe now we calculate it based on the current value. So it's not a crazy idea. I mean, it's not a perfect way to solve the problem, but at least it's a reasonable way to explain the psukim and not have this idea that you always go to Kula or you go to Chumrah. So the way I explained the drasha of 4 years left, 2 years left, the interim stage of the Gemara. I explained it the way that Balei HaTosafot explained it. Just note that Rashi explains it. It doesn't matter whether there are a lot of years or little years left. Rashi says, you pay the same amount, meaning that it's irrelevant now. The purchase price or the current value is not what the pasuk is speaking about at all. All it's telling you is, if you have 4 years left, or do you have 2 years left, you still have to buy yourself out based on the years that remain. And that's what Rashi says over here. Pasuk's not talking about where he appreciated or depreciated. That's not relevant or not even the consideration of the pasuk. Tosafot asks your question, and that's why Tosafot interprets differently. Then how do you explain the difference between Kesef Miknato and Kefi Shanav? According to Rashi, it's completely irrelevant. For that reason, Tosafot says, I think Rashi's wrong. That you still have to explain that difference. And explain that difference, that's the way that we explain the Gemara, which is that when there are 4 years left, you go after a Kesef Miknato. When there are 2 years left, you go after his current value. And that there is a difference between his current value and Kesef Miknato. And it does influence. It's just not that it's always in one direction. It has to do with the number of years, not to do with whether the value went up or down. It's simply connected to the remaining years of work that he has. So just note that Rashi doesn't see that same difference that Tosafot sees. Tosafot's explanation seems to be simpler because it still deals with the problem of Kesef Miknato versus Kfi Shanav. Imkain, he says, Nichvo Kra, the Pasuk should have said, Imra Odra Bot Shanim, Im At Nishar Shanim, without the bet in front of it. My Bishanim, Nitrabe Kaspo Bishanim, Mikesef Miknato, Nimtait Kaspo Bishanim, Kfi Shanav. So that means Nitrabo Kaspo Bishanim. If his money or his value has gone up from the amount that he earned, then Mikesef Miknato, you do it out of the purchase price. Nitrabe Kaspo Bishanim, if his value now has gone down on the years, Kfi Shanav, then you do it based on his current value. So what he says is that that explanation would have worked well had you explained it in such a manner that it didn't have a bet in front of the word. Meaning that if it said, Im od rabot shanim, if he has a lot of years left, or Im at nishar shanim, only has a little amount of years left, that would have been a good explanation. But it says here, Im od rabot bashanim, and in ma'at nishar bashanim, the years themselves have a lot, or the years themselves have a little. How do years have a lot or little? Depends on the price. The purchase price changes, meaning that a year can be worth more, or a year can be worth less. And that's why he says that I think it's talking about value, not talking about how many years physically that he has left. Amar Rav Yosef. Tashinu Rav Nachman, v'hai krai kisinai. Again here, it depends on what you think is Rav Nachman Yitzchak or Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef says that he was dorish this kisinai, as if it came straight from Har Sinai. It's interesting, because Rav Yosef himself is called Sinai. You remember at the end of the Gemara Brachot, over there, it compares Rav Yosef and Rabbah, and it says that Rav Yosef is Sinai, and Rabbah is Oker Harim. Rav Yosef was the Bekiut man. Sinai over there means that he had a tremendous accumulation of knowledge. He had tremendous breadth of knowledge. Rabbah was an Oker Harim. He was a Mefalpel. He was able to ask questions and answer questions. Brisker, an Eon man. That was Rabbah. But there, Rav Yosef is described as a Sinai. So it's interesting here that Rav Yosef is saying about Rav Nachman, he's Dorish this Kisinai. He gives a Teyur to Rav Nachman that he himself carried. Now here it's a little different because the Sinai by Rav Yosef is accumulation of breadth of knowledge. Over here, Sinai means as if it came from Sinai. It's such a good drasha that it's as if it came directly from Sinai. All right. So by Minei, Rav Huna Bar Chinina Ami Rav Sheshet. So here we enter into a new question about this idea of redemption. We have the drasha of Rav Nachman that established for us the fact that you get to go out by the lesser of your purchase price and the current value. So now we want to understand other aspects of the redemption, which is, can he buy half of his freedom out, or do he have to do the whole thing? Is it all or nothing? Because when he comes to negotiate with him, he has to negotiate with him with the remaining years that he has. He only has enough money for half those years. So what can he do? Can he give him half the money and say, I'll only work half the time and I'll go out at a shorter duration? Or does he have to buy his freedom completely at that moment? Maybe we don't do it because we'll learn out the word gula from the gula of ste'achuza. Because ma ste'achuza, when it comes to your property that you sold, enu nigal l'chatzim, over there you cannot redeem it for a half. You have to either do it to all or nothing. Avai nami enu nigal l'chatzim. So too over here you can't redeem it in half. That is because by the Parsha of Ste'achuzah, it uses one additional word, which is not found in the other Parshiot. It says, So then he is able to redeem it. Ve'ish, ki lo yelo goel, he has nobody to redeem it. Ve'siga yado, but he made money and he has the ability to do it. U'matza kidei gulato. He finds the amount to redeem it. Over there in the parashia it says, kidei gulato, which means the amount of its redemption, the full amount of its redemption. That kidei is only used in the parashia that deals with stei achuza. All the other parashiyot that talk about gula, say gulato or gulat yelo, they don't have the word kidei. The question is, now, in the parashiyot of Evid Ivri to a Nachri, that he sold himself, it says that he has a gula. Is that gula governed by the gula that we find by stei achuza? We make gzera shava. And just like by stei achuza, you have to do the whole, it's all or nothing. Tosafot over here claims that it's not a real gzera shava because there's no such thing as gzera lechatzayin, but rather it's a gilui milta. That by stei achuza tells you what the meaning of gula is, which is kidei geulato. What the Gemara wants to know is, does that have application when we just use the word geulato in these other cases? Is it governed by the definition by stei achuza, but not that it's a literally a gzera shava? Other Rishonim believe that it's a full-fledged gzera shava. Or, delma lekula amrinan, lechumra lo amrinan. Maybe we say that the kula is that he gets the redemption, and since he can redeem himself, he can even do it partially. And we don't worry about the gzera shava. There's no gzera shava to stei achuza. We don't learn out the word gula from stei achuza. Now, there are reasons to be mekel over here because we want to get him out of the situation. And we already saw that he gets the lower of his purchase price and his current value. So we see there's certain area. That's what the Gemara is asking. We already see kulot over here. Maybe this is another kula. Hey, lava martatam, nimkar kulo, velo chetzio. Didn't we already learn by an Eved Givri that he sold it entirely and not half? So over here, he has to be redeemed wholly, not in a half. If you remember, we learned before in the Gemara, it says, he sold because of his gneva. We then learned over there, gnevato means kulo, that you sell him entirely for his gneva, you cannot sell him for half of the gneva. So he's saying you have to draw an equation here that equates the two, which is, if it can only be sold in whole, that means it can also only come out whole. Because if you're saying that gnevato means whole, then gulato should also mean whole. And therefore it's all. Amrabai, in Timtza Lomar, Nigal Lechatzaim, he says, wait a minute, if you say that he can be redeemed for half his value, Mishkach Ladakula Uluchumra, says that's not necessarily what you're saying. You're saying over here that, oh, should we go to Kula? Because the two choices were, either we learn out from Stei Achuza, or we go to Kula and we let him redeem himself for his half. Rabbi says, wait a minute. Redeeming himself for half his value is not always the kula. Sometimes that will turn out to be the chumra. And he says, maybe you have to rephrase the question now, because the kula, what's the case of kula? Zavne b'meya, he bought him for 100. Yaiv le chamshin, pagat d'me, that he paid him out 50 to get out of half. So he's what is worth 100, the guy raised 50, paid him the 50, so he now has to work 3 years instead of 6 years, because he bought out half his value. V'ashpach, now his price appreciated. V'kamal matan, and now he's really worth 200. Iyamart nigal lechatzim. If he is redeemed in half, yoiv lemeya v'nofik. Now he has to give him 100 and he goes out. Meaning that the total cost of his redemption will be 150, because the first 50 bought him at that time 50% of his value. When he appreciated, only half of him is left to redeem, so he has to pay an additional 100, total of 150 to get out. Iyamart ein nigalim lechatzim. If you say that he cannot redeem himself in half, yoiv lemeya v'chamshin, he has to add another 150 to the 50 he already paid to get to a total of 200. Because if he wants to redeem himself, he's worth 200 now. He's got to pay 200 to redeem himself. So buying himself out halfway through saved him money. Because when he bought himself out the first time, he was worth less. Since he was worth less, 50% of that was 50. The next time he has to buy himself out, 50% of that is 100. So total of 150. The other case, when he was worth 200 and he couldn't redeem himself halfway in, when he comes to the point where he redeems himself, it's going to cost him 200 to get out. Another 150, or the 50 already paid. Where it says, "Va'amart nitrabe kaspo mikesef miknato." Wait a minute, didn't we already learn that if they appreciates, that you pay based on the purchase price and not the appreciated price? So how do you ever have a scenario like this where he's paying the higher price than kesef miknato? Kagon, the okir, vizal, the okir. It's a case where he was originally worth 200, he depreciated to 100 at the time that he redeemed himself for half, and then it went back up to the original purchase price. So that's the case where he gains from redeeming himself halfway at the lower price when his value went down, because then he'll get himself cheaper for that 50%. If you don't let him do it, he has to pay the higher price. L'chumra, Sometimes it turns out to be to his disadvantage, which is, Zavne b'matan, if he originally bought him for 200, Yoiv le'meya, pagei de demei. He gave him 100 to buy out half of his freedoms. Now he only has to work 3 years now. V'ichsif, and then he depreciated. Kamo meya, and now he's only worth 100. Iyamart nigal l'chatzayin, if you say that he can be redeemed for half, Yoiv le'chamshin v'nofik. He gives him 50, and he goes out. Because that paid 100 for the original half, the 50% remaining, he has to pay 50 for because he's worth 100 now, so it's a total of 150. V'yamart, eini gal l'chatzayin, if you say he cannot be redeemed to half, Hanach mea pikadon inu gabe. The original 100 were just a pikadon, a deposit with him. Yoiv lehu ne'alei v'nofik. He just has to pay the 100 now. He's out. Because he's worth 100 now. And the 100 equals his value. So the 100 that he gave to him, which was not used originally to redeem him, because he can't redeem in half, means it was waiting. It was a deposit till he got the full amount. Well, now it's the full amount, because he's worth 100 now. And therefore it'll turn out to be l'chumra. That means that if you are able to redeem yourself for half, you'll have to pay 150. If you can't redeem yourself for half, you only have to pay 100. So it's not always the kula to allow you to redeem at the halfway point. And nigalim v'chatzim is not always a chumra, or nigalim v'chatzim is not always a kula. So therefore, you can't phrase it as a question of, oh, do I say gula gula from steachuza, or do I say lakula? That's not the two sides of this. It's whether nigal v'chatzim or a nigal v'chatzim, that's the question. It's not a question of kula and chumra. And therefore, the halacha is that we darshan. You have to darshan the pasuk, which says, just like gnevato means the whole amount, gulato also means the whole ebed ivri, and you can't go out for halves. Nothing to do with kula or chumra, but simply to do with the gzerat ha-katuv. So whether Abaye is coming to argue it on Rav Sheshet's conclusion, that ein nigal l'chatzayin, which seemingly means it's the chumra, and Abaye is coming and saying, that's just not the case. Just because you say ein nigal l'chatzayin does not guarantee that you're going l'chumra. Or whether Abaye is explaining the position of Rav Sheshet and basically saying that in essence everybody agrees that ein nigal l'chatzayin. The only question is, how strong is this gezeir shava? Is it strong enough to say ben l'kula ben l'chumra? Or is that only when it's l'chumra? But all Abaye is doing is explaining to us what chumra and kula mean in this case. Or is Abaye come to say that there's a mistaken premise in the question? The question was, do we say the gezeir shava l'chumra? Or do we hold the kula? And all Abaye is pointing out is that that's not the nature of the question, because it's not always the kula or the chumra. It does not, whether you down the gzeir sheva or not down the gzeir sheva, does not always result in a chumra and a kula. And the only question should be, are we down the gzeir sheva or are we not down the gzeir sheva? In that instance, he would be, in a sense, disagreeing with the whole understanding of the question by Rav Sheshet, or the presentation of the question by Rav Sheshet. So despite the fact that we might hold like Rav Sheshet, that ain't nigal l'chatzayin, maybe in cases where that turns out to be l'chumra, we would try to be mekel on the Eved Ivri to get him out of the situation of being enslaved to this Nachri. Same question now as we're asking by Eved Ivri, you can ask about selling a house in a walled city. Can you redeem it for half or not? Gulato, gulato, misteachuza gamar. Do we learn out the gzera shava, like we said before? But from here, we learn gula from the gula of steachuza, where it says kedei gedulato, only the whole amount. Ma steachuza ina nigela dechatzayin, just like a steachuza cannot be redeemed in half. Avai naminu nigela dechatzayin. Odilma, heche de gali gali, heche de lo gali lo gali. Or maybe where the pasuk tells you kedei gedulato, that's where you got to pay the whole amount. Where it doesn't tell you kedei gedulato, you can even redeem for half the amount or whatever you can raise. Amalei mi midrashosh Rabbi Shimon nishma. From the midrash of Rabbi Shimon, we can figure this out. Shiloveh v'goel v'goel l'chatzayim. That you can borrow money to redeem, and you can redeem for half the value. Titanya. Im goel yigalit lameid. From here you learn out the fact that he is allowed to redeem it. Lameid shiloveh v'goel v'goel l'chatzayim. From the duplication or the double lashon of goel, we learn out that you can borrow money to redeem, and you can redeem even half the value. Amar Rav Shimon Matam. What's the reason for this? L'fisha me'etzinu b'mocher steachuza, shiafek kocho. That a person who sells a steachuza, he has an upper hand. Shimigia yovel, v'lo nigala. The yovel shows up, and he has yet to redeem it. Choser the ba'alev yovel. It goes back to the original owners. So the worst scenario for him is that he waits for the yovel, and he gets the land back. So since in the end game is in his favor, we say in the interim, it goes, and as an offsetting manner, it goes against him. which means that we won't let you borrow money to redeem the field, and we'll let you redeem the field in halves, because in the end, if you do nothing, you're going to get the field back. So we say, since you have a kula in the back end, we're going to be machmir on you in the front end. Because he has the strong hand in the back end, he has a weaker hand in the redemption process. Makdish, which is where we quoted the pasuk from. You go, oh, you got it, that if you want to redeem the land. I mean, this is land, a steachuza, that you were makdish to hektish. The end of Parshat Bechukotai. Then you have the right to redeem it. So when it says that you're allowed to redeem it, it says, im go'ol yig'al et asadeh makdish oto. Then you have, these are the process. So this is the way that you do it. In the back end, he has a bad deal, which is, shimigia yovel v'no nigala. If the yovel shows up and he never redeems it, yotzal kohanim yovel, he won't get the land back. It'll be distributed to the kohanim. Yafek kochol shalove v'goel v'goel l'chazim. That he can borrow money and redeem it and redeem the chazim. That's the offsetting factor. If you're going to get the land back in the back end anyway, we say then we're not going to give you the rights to borrow money or to redeem in half, because you're going to get it back anyway. In case where you're not going to get it back in the back end, then we say to you, we give you the right to redeem it any way you can, because we want to protect you from having the back end happen, which is if the Yovel comes, you're going to lose it entirely. So for that reason, we say, Imgol Yigal, that you have the right to redeem it any way possible. What does that mean? You can borrow money and redeem it. You can redeem even half. Whatever you can redeem, we'll let you redeem. So therefore, if you apply that logic to a mocher batei orei chuma, ha mocher bayit batei orei chuma, nami, hoel v'hora kocho, izim leya lo shanat zmima lo nigala nechlat, by batei orei chuma, he also has a bad deal in the back end, which is, when you sell a house in a walled city, if you don't redeem it within the first year, the sale goes permanent, and you can't get it back ever. So here, if the year elapses and you haven't redeemed it, you're going to lose the house. That means in the back end, you have a weak hand. You don't get it back. If he doesn't redeem it within that first year, it goes to a permanent sale. Therefore, we're going to yafek kochol shalovet v'goel v'goel l'chazim, that we allow you to borrow in order to redeem, and we allow you to redeem in half, because if you don't allow you, if you don't let you do the gula here, you're going to lose it entirely. So that's what the drush of Rabbi Shimon is. I'm explaining to you why by steachuza you can't do these things. Because in the back end of steachuza, you're going to get it back. So that's the worst scenario for you. In these other cases where in the back end you will not get it back, we have to give you as much power in the front end in order to redeem it. And therefore we're going to be makil by that. So if you apply this to batei orei chuma, that would suggest that you can borrow to redeem and you can redeem in halves. And this is Rabbi Shimon l'shitato, that he's doresh time of the krah, that he is doresh the reason behind the psukim. But not only is he doresh the reason behind the psukim, he'll use that reason then to establish the halacha. And that's what he does here. He uses the reason behind the balance between goel dechatayim or lover goel and the end result of what's going to happen, and then he applies that to batei orei chuma. Eitave, is that really true? Im goel yigal malameid shalove v'goel v'goel l'chazim. Sheyachol. I could have learned this from Mekav Chomer. Alo dinu. Uma mocher steachuza sheyafek kocho. That he has in the back end, he's strong. Shemigia yovel v'lo nigala chozer debala. Be yovel. Goes back to them in the yovel. Hora kocho. Shein lo v'goel v'goel l'chazim. And still, he's not allowed to redeem it halfway through, redeem half of it. Or borrow money to redeem it. Magdish. By a magdish steachuza shogro kocho. Then in the back end, he has a bad deal, which is, Shim Higia Yovel Valoni Gala Yotzal the Kohanim, be Yovel. He doesn't redeem it by the Yovel, he's gonna lose it entirely. Enudin, Kal Vechomer, Shora Kocho, Shein Lovel Vegoel Vegoel, the Chatzaim. Then certainly he should not be allowed to then redeem it by borrowing money or redeem a half of it. Because that is a Kal Vechomer. If by the case where he's stronger in the back end, he still doesn't have these rights, then in a case where he's weaker in the back end, certainly he should not have these rights. Right. So they're saying, wait, this is against Rabbi Shimon's explanation. Wait a minute. The Kal Vachomer is not so strong. Why? Because by the case of selling a steachuza, if you sell your field, even though you're allowed to redeem it, and you could get it back in the Ovel, you're not allowed to redeem it for the first 2 years. There's a block against you redeeming the field for the first 2 years. That's a chumrah by steachuza. Tomar b'magdish, shefeko legal miyad. If you're magdish steachuza, you can redeem it immediately. There's no waiting period. There's no 2 years. So therefore, you can't prove anything from that kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer is not a good kal v'chomer Because the kula is not always on the side of stay achuza. There's sometimes a chumrah there, and you could argue that chumrah is why you're machmir by stay achuza. Just like you can't redeem in the first 2 years, you can't borrow to redeem it, and you can't redeem it in half. But a makdish stay achuza, where there's no restriction against redeeming it immediately, so maybe right there will be mekyo and say that you could also redeem it in half of it, or you can borrow and redeem it. So there you can't prove anything from this kal v'chomer. So Gemara says, mocher bayit b'bate arei choma yochiach. Bate arei choma will prove you. Shefeko chol yigayel miyad. Over there you have a right to redeem it immediately. If you sell the house, you can buy it back immediately. Vein lo ve v'goel v'goel l'chazim. And over there it says you can't borrow to redeem, and you can't redeem half of it. Oh my goodness, the Braita just said explicitly that you can't do this. Rabbi Shimon was arguing, based on the drasha, that you could borrow and redeem it. You could redeem it in half. Here we have a Braita explicitly saying otherwise, which is, you're not allowed. Ein lo ve v'goel, v'goel l'chatzeim, that you can't do it. So now, if you use Rabbi Shimon's drasha, you would try to extrapolate Rabbi Shimon's drasha and say that it applies to Batei Erei Choma. And applying it to Batei Erei Choma, you would be Mekel. We have a Braita that explicitly says we are machmir. Where it says, lo kasha, that is not a question. Ha rabbonon, ha Rabbi Shimon. Depends who the author of the position. You have Rabbi Shimon, and you have the rabbonon. Rabbi Shimon, who has this drasha, will tell you that by Batei Erei Choma, you're allowed to borrow to redeem, and you're allowed to redeem half of it. The rabbonon do not have that drasha, Rabbi Shimon say. No, that Batei Erei Choma, if there's nothing that tells you otherwise, if you don't have a riboy from the pasuk, then you only can redeem it wholly and without borrowing. Tani chado. We have one braita that says, love vigoel, vigoel lechatzaim, that says you're allowed to borrow and redeem it, and you can redeem half of it. Tani idach, we have another braita that says, ein love vigoel, vigoel lechatzaim, that you're not allowed to borrow to redeem, and you can't redeem half of it. Lokasho, that's not a problem. Ha rabbonon, ha Rabbi Shimon. Once again, the two braitot can be explained. One braita is authored by Rabbi Shimon, the one who permits you to do this. And the other braita is the rabbanon who do not permit you to do this. So now, what the rabbanon's logic is, if you have a bad deal, you get a totally bad deal. So if in the back end you don't get the item back, that shows you that you have the lower hand here. If you have the lower hand, that's going to be across the board. So by Batei Erei Choma, where in the back end you don't get it back, then in the front end, we're not going to let you borrow to redeem it. We're not going to let you redeem half of it. Because you have a bad deal in the back end, that means you're going to have a bad deal across the board. If you have a good deal, we'll give you a good deal across the board. Now, obviously, if there's a drusha that says otherwise, then we'll have to abide by it. By smakdish te achuza, where you don't get in the back end, according to Rabbanan, you should have been also over there not able to redeem half of it or to borrow and redeem it. But the pasuk says, in gol yigal, there's a riboy that gives you the right to do it. And same thing with stay achuza. Even though in the back end of stay achuza, you have the ability to get the land back, which means you have the better deal, then in the front end, you should have also had the better deal, which is you should be able to borrow to redeem it, and you should be able to redeem half of it. Nevertheless, the chamim say, kidei gudulato. Over there it says you have to do the full amount. There's a gzerata katub by stay achuza that you have the full amount, and not less than the full amount. Or you could argue the fact that you have to wait 2 years means that you have a bad deal. You have to wait 2 years, then we're also going to tell you, you can't redeem it. Borrow and redeem it, you can't redeem half of it. So that's the Shita Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Shimon, these are offsetting factors. The reason by Stei Achuza and by Makdish Stei Achuza, you have opposite dinim, is exactly for that reason. There's a balance being drawn. If you have a bad back end, we're going to give you a good front end. If you have a good back end, we're going to give you a bad front end. And then if you go to Batei Erei Choma, that's the nafkamina between them. According to the Chachamim, who say, whatever happens in the back end, or whatever, if it's bad for you, it's going to be bad across the board. So for them, Batei Erei Choma, in the back end, you lose it. So that means in the front end, you can't redeem it. Borrow money and redeem it, and you can't redeem it for half of it. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says it's a balancing of the two. If you have a bad back end, then we're going to give you a better front end. And that means that you will be able to borrow to redeem it, and you will be able to redeem it for half of its value. Okay, we're going to stop here, 3 lines down on the top of Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph.